The Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Use the promo code SGP100 for a 100% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Odds Shark. They have the latest betting stats and trends you won't find anywhere else, plus free picks from their supercomputer and expert writing staff. Follow them on Twitter at Odds Shark and www.oddsshark.com. We're also brought to you by BetQL. BetQL is the only app that puts all the knowledge you need to make smart bets in the palm of your hand. Log on to BetQL.co to download the app today.
Welcome everybody to the Sports Gambling Podcast. This is not the smooth styling voice of Sean Green. He is off doing a honeymoon, I guess, a short honeymoon. It sounds like they just went to a bed and breakfast down the road, hangover relief perhaps. So we're solo tonight, or I'm solo in studio, and I have in the extended Las Vegas studio, host of Inside Vegas on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, Christian Pina's here to break down week four on the DFS slate. What's up, Pina?
That is a different energy coming out of you than it is Sean, buddy.
You know, I don't have that hyped up. You know, normally, especially Monday nights, normally Sean is coming off of a basketball game. He's got the blood flowing. So yeah, I'm sitting here watching this Pittsburgh Steelers team attempt to blow this spot here. And I mean, perhaps it's the stress of that. Perhaps it's, I'm still kind of recovering from the wedding that was, I don't know. How was your weekend? The Pats looked like hot shit.
Yeah, man, that was defensively, man. When they throw the ball, like, so I tweeted this out, like I broke like four of my own rules, betting New England. I mean, it was teaser liability. A prominent offshore spot tweeted it was the biggest teaser liability in the history of the company. And again, I've written this up for SGP before, that Pats are the exception to every rule. They break every gambling rule. And again, you couple that with the Patriots being off a loss and Matt Stafford, you know, facing a team that's, you know, projected to finish above 500. It was too much to kind of not bet. But I mean, the silver lining here is I think that we're going to get, you know, a Pats minus 200 to win the AFC East, you know, coming down from minus 1200, I think is actually, you know, a lot of value. It's the Cleveland Browns or Cleveland Cavaliers situation, right? I mean, they need Edelman back. They need Gordon. There's nobody on the field besides Gronkowski, and they're going to get some help. I mean, 6.5, 7-point favorites, Miami at home this week. They're not going to lose three straight. So I think things are going to be, you know, Chris Collinsworth finally, I was waiting for it all night, finally said the question we have to ask is, how good are New England? Like, they do this every year. They haven't had to get up for a regular season game in forever, man. And they're going to be up for this Miami one. And again, I know I'm going to take heat and say that I'm being a homer and the Patriots are awful, but yeah, the defense is bad, but they're getting reinforcements, man. And it's a perfect buy low opportunity.
This is a classic.
It's a baby fucking wheel, man.
Take the end is look at, I do
stop
agree.
Stop with the end is near. How many times ever? Every single year are we going
to
do this?
No. I was about to back you up. I do think it's hilarious that Pats fans are just brushing it off because they've looked bad in the past, but for Belichick to get owned by Matt Patricia of all people, that would concern me. I don't think the end is near. I think they'll get it figured out. I think Edelman coming back is huge because everyone's just loading up on Gronkowski. And I think Patricia, you know, showed the rest of the league, hey, maybe you take this guy off the game and they might struggle a little bit. Who knows with Josh Gordon? Like you said, I will be buying the Patriots to win this division with you. Yeah. You kind of have to see it to believe it. So, yeah, I don't know, but it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, God damn it. Why did I make a huge bet on this fucking team?
Join the club.
You're right. We broke a lot of rules, but anyway, you know, like I was saying, out of town for the weekend. So I didn't get to watch as much football as I would have liked, But I did want to report, I don't want to get into Sean's wedding too much. I figure we'll discuss when he's back on the college or the NFL show. But I did want to report to you, Pina, as he's been saying all year, he did in fact thank Tariq Cohen in his speech.
Yes.
No bullshit. Yeah. I don't know if anyone actually recorded it. Sean's not here to talk about himself, but I will say for a wedding that was full of stand-up comics, like Sean slayed the room. But yeah, thanked Tariq Cohen. I think he got a thank in on Carson Wentz.
In his vows or like at the reception at the toast or whatever?
At the reception. He did walk out. And again, I don't want to get too deep in this, but he did walk out to the harp player playing the Eagles victory song. So there was
God bless the Mrs. Sean Green now for putting up with that on her wedding day.
It was great. Didn't get to watch as much football as I normally would. It was a pretty disastrous day for me from a fantasy perspective. I know my DFS lineup didn't cash. I don't know how yours did, Pina, but mine did not cash in the Millionaire Maker. And I think out of all my fantasy teams, I think I'm in 8 or 9 teams and I maybe Jesus. Had 2 wins. So not a great week. So I'm looking for the rebound. And should we just, I guess before we get started, this is the problem when Sean's not around.
Well, we don't have the structure. We don't have
I gotta pay the bills, which means I gotta hit the soundboard. I gotta get the music going, and then I gotta tell you. Do you know who the Sports Gambling Podcast has brought? Listen, Pina. When you need some action, and I know I need action right now because I got crushed by that stupid Patriots team. I don't know why I laid the points. I felt smart taking 6.5. Well, I got to head over to mybookie.ag. And since I already have an account, I'm going to wait till after 7 p.m. Eastern time because I'm going to take advantage of this $25 free play on deposits over $100. But let's say I wasn't. Let's say I had a friend. Let's say I was going to use a different identity. I would go and use promo code SGP100 to get a whopping $1,000 in free play. Look, Sean tells you every week, it's very simple. The formula is such. You play, you win, and you get paid over at mybookie.ag. Again, SGP 100 after 7 p.m., SGP 25, mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid.
Beautiful.
I'm going to grade myself a C-. I kind of choked in the beginning. I got these notes in front of me. They helped like fucking the Pats receivers helped last night. So anyway, listen, let's hop into it because the exciting thing for me this weekend is the Giants got to win. I'm back on it. Like I predicted to Sean last week, previous times they've started 0-2, they get excited and they backed against the wall. They won the game. I like what I see. And now I get to get hyped about them for my DFS lineup, but I'll let you start. Who's your quarterback? Pina.
Yeah, man. I went back and forth because it's only two of us. I don't want us to have the exact same lineup. So I figure it's one of two choices between us. And I'm going to go with Andy Dalton here on the road at Atlanta. When you look at what Atlanta has, I'm sorry, 5,400. When you look at, their defensive side is a mash unit. They've lost, I believe, 3 safeties now. Their middle linebacker is out. And Dalton, for all his faults, when the lights are bright, he's Andy Dalton. When they're not, and he can kind of go under the radar, he routinely puts up great games. Has a new target in Tyler Boyd now, obviously with AJ Green getting hurt, sitting out the second half here. But Boyd, 6 receptions, 132 and 1. Dalton last week, 342 and 2 against a much better Carolina team. And that one was on the road as well. So this matchup is even easier. And when you look at this price point of 5,400, incredibly cheap, kind of, what we were talking about last week with Matt Ryan, and absolutely delivered in, a game where they put up 80 total points, but 5,400, he's right in the neighborhood. He's more, he's less expensive than Andrew Luck, Tannehill, Eli Manning. So this price point, it's just a little bit too low here in a great matchup for him. So Andy Dalton, 5,400.
There are some incredibly cheap quarterbacks, maybe not cheap, but in that 5,000 to 5,500, 50, even 5,600, you're looking at, you could take Russell Wilson at 5,600. You could take Tannehill, who's been doing all right. For me, it was between these three guys. I did not take Andy Dalton. Andrew Luck, I just watched Eli Manning shred this Houston defense. I got to imagine Andrew Luck is going to have a good game, but Where I struggle with Andrew Luck is they brought in Jacoby Brissett to throw the Hail Mary, and that still makes me worry because I would want to stack him with T.Y. Hilton. So I passed on Andrew Luck, Pina, to go straight up homer.
I caught it. You almost called me Sean.
I almost called you Sean. Straight up homer. Look, Eli Manning, 5,600 against this New Orleans team and their 31st ranked pass defense. We were discussing this off air. Whether or not you like the Giants as a 3.5 point home dog, there will be some points in this game. And the Giants very well may need to score 35 points to win this game. I just like fading this New Orleans defense on the road. 5,600. Give me Eli Manning.
All cue the disgusting act.
Let me drop on my see. The other problem with Sean not being here is Sean has this board organized like a hot mess. It's impossible to find anything. So we'll see.
It's like
here
a hoarder, but he
that
knows exactly.
Is a disgusting act.
He's you like know, a hoarder. He knows exactly where everything is, but he's the only one.
He knows. You know what's funny? He puts the important stuff right up near the top.
Long Cox.
That's the favorite drop. Anyway, let's move. I mean, come on. If you're ever going to take Eli Manning, this is a week to take him, right?
I don't think so. I mean, for being honest here, I want no part of this Giants team, man. And we touched on this again, talking off air. I mean, the thought process, you know, there is a narrative where, New Orleans drops, you know, 45 on them and they have to throw to come back even in that regard. Again, the Giants are going to have to put up 30 points, I would say, to have a chance at this. I don't know if they can get there from a point spread perspective. I know the old school sharp way in you is going to tell you to take a 3.5 point home dog in the NFL, but again, New Orleans definitely struggles. So there are worse plays out there. I like it.
All right, man. Give me your running back one.
Going to the Patriots game, man, I touched on this. New England has not had to be get up for a regular season game in virtually ever, right? I mean, when's the last time they really cared about a regular season game? They kind of just do their thing, you know, quote unquote workmanlike, and they go. This one is different. They can't fall three games back of the fucking Miami Dolphins, who I'll give us props. Me and you were very high on them on the AFC podcast or preview podcast. I believe Sean was very down on them. Again, when we touched on this, when we say high, we meant 7-9, 8-8, because when you put up that record with Jay Cutler, there's only one way to go. So to me, I'm going with Sony Michel here, and taking a Patriots running back is not, you know,
fucking unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable.
The way to go. But again, 14 attempts. He's going to be the guy now. He looks like he's over that injury. And this play calling, for as atrocious as you want to say it was, they refuse to not run the ball. All they do is run the ball. And it's infuriating from a game script perspective and pace perspective and everything. But again, he's the only guy, but Burkhead went out again last game. James White did catch a touchdown, but he is going to be at least the first and second down back. And he looks like he's to be evolving into that third down option as well. So 4,500, probably the cheapest he's going to be for a while.
You nailed it. Not only does he have a good matchup, he got the work. And this is, you know, I know this is a Bill Belichick led team that he's fucked with fantasy owners in the past. And Sony Michel is going to see one touch and we're going to randomly have the James White. But I think the fact that Burkhead is banged up clearly, I think they like this kid. I think they want to have a three down back and that's why they went out and drafted him. And to your point, 4,500 will be the cheapest he is all year. So unfortunately we have a dupe, but I worried when I threw him in my lineup that you might take him, but I love the fact that he's the guy. And I just think he's the most talented guy they've had in a long time. So
Made the investment. You know, when you put a first round pick, you know, when you draft somebody in the first round, you give them every opportunity and they have to really work at not being involved. And again, when you talk about that and the opportunity, it's different, right? When you don't invest any draft capital in a guy like, say, Alex Collins, right? Or Adrian Peterson, somebody that's cheap like that. The price tag was high on Michelle, first round pick. So they're going to want to get that return on investment. And he looks to be all systems go now.
Especially when he's a guy that, you know, that bone on bone situation, he may not play much longer than 4 or 5 years. So you use him when he's there, he's healthy. I also like him in season long. So I'm very excited to see him getting the work. Who's your running back to, Pina?
I had to save a little bit here. I originally had Jordan Howard in here, couldn't fit the receivers I wanted, so I pivoted a little bit. Look, this Jacksonville defense is great, right? But for everything that we say about their passing game, you can run on them a little bit, and I expect them to get after the quarterback and the Jets. They're they're at home, right? So you expect, I think this the spread may be a little bit low, although Jacksonville, I mean, how do you lose to the Tennessee Titans in 2018 with this gimmick offense? I went with Bilal Powell. 14 attempts, that's the key stat, right? He's always been the guy that gets the receiving yards. Week three was a little bit different. 14 attempts, 73 yards on the ground. One target. You go to back to week two to kind of see what's going on. And you still had six targets, but only five attempts on the ground. To me, what that says is he is game script kind of proof, right? He's going to get both things. So at 3,800, you know, we're always into kind of cheating in DraftKings with the PPR format. I think that it's a bargain, and you know, when we're looking at this dump offs, that type of stuff in a game that may be able to get, you know, maybe get a little bit away from them, I think it's a great bargain. So Bilal Powell, 3,800.
You know, I like that. I do like that angle. I almost had him as well, but I'm taking an angle that you've kind of, I believe you've touted earlier in the season, and that's taking a running back, especially in the pass catching props against the Indianapolis Colts. They have they've given up something crazy, like 28 receptions for a couple 300 yards to running backs. And although Lamar Miller is not a sexy pick, makes me like him in the contest format. And he's only 5,000. Again, there's going to need to be some points in this game. Deontay Foreman does not come off the pop list for another couple of weeks. So he is the guy, much like Michelle, full-time guy, going to get a good workload. And against this Colts team, he is going to see targets. I think they're averaging giving up 12 targets a game to running back. So give me Lamar Miller, 5,000. And my running backs are definitely not sexy, but 9,500 for the two. I like where I'm at this point. Pina, who you got for your wide receiver one?
Yeah, man, I was on his props last week, and I had three prop bets in this game. I had Deshaun Watson over, I had Will Fuller over, and Lamar Miller. There's nobody more frustrating. Much like Melvin Gordon, he is not terribly effective. He just gets all the opportunity. So while he's, you know, like you said, while he's, you know, has the job security, well worth the play there. I like that a lot. Wide receiver one, you're going to have to check the injury wire for this one and see if he's good to go. But this is the stack with Andy Dalton here. If he's not, it actually works out a little bit better because Boyd is much cheaper at, pull him up. Tyler Boyd is only 4,600 here. So you're going to be able to save it, and you can even go to a higher priced wide receiver in your flex here. I went AJ Green. And again, just as we talked about this, you know, when Boyd moved over to that second receiver or to the number one receiver, that's AJ Green's route tree. And they are kind of lockstep right now. I mean, he's had over eight targets every single week. The yardage, he hasn't really had his huge game. Everyone wants to touch on the week two performance because he had three touchdowns. But he hasn't even gone over 100 yards yet. And he's really due to have that kind of, you know, typical AJ Green performance. And again, this Atlanta defense, you saw what they just led up to Michael Thomas. There's nobody on that team. They're down to their fourth and fifth string safeties. So stacking with Andy Dalton, if Green is out, it's even better with Tyler Boyd. You can plug in there. But for now, I'm going to go Green at 7,500.
Oh, man, I do like it. I like the matchup. I definitely like fading the Atlanta team this week. I just, hey, I'm not a big fan of Andy Dalton. He's going to put up good numbers, though. And I like the stack with AJ Green. I'm stacking as well. And that can only mean one thing. And I'm gonna do it because Sean is not here to do this for me.
That's a company man.
The curse is over. They gotta win. I'm stacking them with Odell Beckham, 8,700. Again, this Saints team can't stop anyone. So he has not had that game where he popped a slant yet. He is coming off a 10 target game. I thought about going Shepherd for much cheaper, to your point about Boyd versus Green, but I'm going for the big ticket item here. And speaking of big ticket items, Pina, I got to cue up some music. I'm really failing here. We're gonna go with the super contest. Speaking of big ticket items, let's talk about Odd Shark. I know you got to spend some time with them out in Vegas. They also just sent over a sweet, sweet swag bag for some extra prizes we're going to be giving out in the free roll football contest. Of course, the Odd Shark is the presenting sponsor. Head over to contest.sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all the details. You can still sign up today. You can still help to increase the prize pool today because everyone who signs up will increase the prize pool by $1. I know that sounds like nothing, but hey, guess what? We get another 1,000 people. That's another $1,000 in the pot at the end of the year. And again, like I said, presenting sponsor, Odd Shark. Get free picks from their supercomputer. read stuff from their expert writing staff, and all, really all the data-driven editorial content. I'm a big fan of the supercomputer. I'm a big fan of the matchup pages. I highly recommend you head over there. Very informative. There's a lot of places that do what they do. They just happen to do it better. So check them out on Twitter at OddShark and head over to www.oddshark.com. Wide receiver two, Pina. That one, I'm going to give myself a C plus, B minus, but
I'll go B minus. I like
B minus. Okay. All right. Wide receiver two, Pina.
You're not on my level on Inside Vegas, but we're going to get you there, kid. If you want me to take over, bring in the bullpen, let me know. Hey, no, wide receiver two. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say real quick, I haven't been doing it, but it would be really funny for me to like, just cut together a reel of just you fucking up. Like, because obviously you send me all the recordings, and it's funny sometimes when I don't know which one's the right one, and I'll start listening, and it'll sound really great, and then all of a sudden it's just like fuck, like you like some sort of Tourette's kid, you know. Anyway, getting back to football, who's your wide receiver two, man?
Julio Jones. I love this game. This over took a ton of money, going up from 48.5 all the way to 50 and a half. And I don't know if they can set this total high enough. I mean, people don't really realize the amount of points that Cleveland in Cleveland games have been putting up, right? Week two, 52 points. That was last week. Week
three. You mean Cincinnati, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. 57 points in week two. They are, you know, their defense isn't great and their offense is clicking right now. There's going to be a ton. This is going to be a carbon copy of the Saints game. I want a ton of pieces. I want a ton of exposure. And Julio Jones I went with him last week, 6 targets, 5 receptions, 96 yards, still has not found this end zone. And you know all about Atlanta's issues in the red zone, right? That was one of the reasons I really liked the Saints this week. I thought they would turn threes into sevens and the other side would be an issue turning 7 and 3s with Atlanta. He's going to get in the end zone. Again, Cincinnati's defense has not been that great. So Julio Jones at $8,200.
Yeah. For my wide receiver too. I know that jackass Hugh Jackson had to wait until watch the tape, but I'll tell you this, as a huge Tyrod Taylor fan, Baker Mayfield's got to be the starter. And what I see in a guy, who got reinvigorated during the game, and that's Jarvis Landry, 15 targets. I absolutely love Jarvis Landry in this spot with Baker Mayfield as his quarterback. He's going to look there early and often. 7,400. I mean, I know I'm paying a little bit for a guy who has a relatively low ceiling, but if I'm getting 15 targets for 7,400, yes, please. Jarvis Landry at Oakland. Who's your wide receiver three, Pina?
Here's our second double, man. You touched on everything. Jarvis Landry at 7,400. Baker Mayfield is dick on the floor swaggy right now, and I want to have some exposure to it. I do think he's going to be. Here's the thing, right? When rookie quarterbacks or rookie or players coming in making their first starts, kind of like Patrick Mahomes, they until they get tape on them, you know, Watson is kind of suffering from this right now, right? They can't really game plan for it because there's not a ton out there. There's next to nothing out there aside from a half of football on Mayfield. And what you did see on that half is Jarvis Landry early and often. I think it's a little early, especially with a team like Cleveland, to kind of, you know, crown them and say this or that. But you know what's going to be in play in this game, and that's Jarvis Landry on 7-yard out routes, 7-yard curls, 7-yard slants all day long. I absolutely love it. Jarvis Landry, 7,400.
You touched on this earlier, but I did go the cheaper route in this Cincinnati Atlanta game, and I took Tyler Boyd. I considered taking Ridley, but I'm not looking to play a guy coming off a 3-touchdown game, even though he's still very affordably priced at 4,900. I wanted some action in this game. I decided I would go Tyler Boyd because even if AJ Green does play, he may be banged up. It's unclear. They're being real coy about his status, which makes me think he's more hurt than he is. Mm-hmm. So for 4,600, Tyler Boyd, and a little backstory on Boyd. Boyd was the guy before James Washington was the guy at Pitt. And I'm sorry, before now I'm blanking on his game, but he was the guy at Pitt who he was an absolute stud. And when he came out, I was shocked to see him not go higher. So I'm excited for him to get his chance. And quite frankly, I saw a guy who Andy Dalton very clearly trusts. And even if Green plays, I could see Boyd getting worked more and more into this game plan. So Tyler Boyd, 4,600. Who's your tight end, Pina?
Where else would I go, Ryan? Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Did you see him?
It's a baby fucking wheel, man.
I saw him get shut down this past weekend.
No. I was going to say, did you see the interview that came out that the Patriots tried to trade him to Detroit?
Oh, my God. I did. I wanted to ask you about this. We know that the media attempts to slander the Patriots all the time. But what actually happened here?
So a reporter came out and basically asked Rob Gronkowski, a report came out that said the Patriots tried to trade you to Detroit, and you said that you would retire before you left or before you went there. You wouldn't play for them. And his word for word answer was, and I quote, "Yeah, it happened. Brady's my quarterback. I don't play without Brady." End quote.
Wow.
Like that is, first of all, that to me says that a deal was agreed upon. So I'm really interested to see what the return on a guy like Gronkowski would be. But that aside, could you imagine what this offense would look like without Gronkowski right now? So maybe that was before the Edelman suspension. I mean, you never know timeline. He's the whole offense right now. You're going to get one more week of Gronkowski being the guy. Again, when you look at his stats, teams are rolling coverage to him, right? I largely throw out the Jacksonville game because he really, that's Jacksonville, right? They do that to everybody. And Matt Patricia knows, rolled everything to him. Slay was on Hogan, but they were double teaming him nonstop. In a game where, again, this is kind of having two pieces of this helps because I think that Miami just doesn't have kind of the back end. And again, I know we like to, fade Detroit sometimes, especially in the tight end market. Miami, again, he consistently torches them. He has incredible splits against Miami. This is a divisional matchup. They are very, very familiar with each other. This is Rob Gronkowski. This is his offense. And at 7,000, it's even a little bit of a bargain when you look at the other tight ends here from a price point. Yeah, he's $800 more than Ertz. He's the whole offense. And when you look at this and you say, all right, he only had five targets, how can he be the whole offense? Anyone with two eyes can see that that's kind of where it is. Love fading him off a really bad game. Four receptions, 51 yards. Should get in the end zone here plenty. And one more week of the Gronkowski train should roll here. So 7,000 Gronk.
I do love that it's true. And now I wonder what this means. I mean, does this just go away? Or is this just like... What?
The thing is, man, with the Patriots, it's business. And I think they know that. Like the players there, aside from Brady, really know. I mean, it's been proven time and time again, right? Asante Samuel, on down the line. I can't think of him off the top of my head. But they know that, everyone's expendable unless your name's Tom Brady. So I don't think that, maybe he was thought to be the second most, least expendable person. I just think it just goes to, it's no secret that he doesn't really care who it is, right? It's system, not guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and honestly, speaking of things that are indispensable, BetQL. Listen, Pina, BetQL is the only mobile app that gives you the best chance to beat Vegas. And they got all the NFL lines in the app. They got a whole bunch of good information. I personally have used this app to track my picks. I do enjoy that. I do enjoy how it gives me recommendations on which teams are going to be silly public teams. It definitely recommended I not take the Patriots -6.5 on Sunday Night Football, but I didn't listen to BetQL and I'm paying for it today. So head over to betql.co, download the app today. And honestly, this is the part where I tell you, I actually use the app. I enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, you must be an incredibly organized person because it's bringing organization to my life. And much like their product RotoQL, it's helping me dominate the bookies. Well, I guess that's a relative term because I didn't dominate too hard last week. But anyway, head over to betql.co, Apple Android store, download the app BetQL today. Now I owe you a tight end, Pina. And we talked about this off air, but there's one team that's just been glorious, glorious, hot shit when it comes to defending the tight end, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I know Trey Burton was a guy that everyone was pretty excited about coming into the season. He threw the Philly special. He was going to be the linchpin in this Nagy offense, which
real
looks...
quick, can I interrupt you? Cause I want, every time I hear the Philly special two, I need to tell this story. I was sitting in line at a sports book. The week after the Philly special two. So I believe it was week one. There was two guys there. They were both had Philly, or one guy was from Philly. He was trying to get his buddy to bet on Philadelphia. So I guess it was week two. And he was like, oh man, we got to, Phillies just has too much, man. We have the Philly special. We have the Philly special part two. And he goes, what is the Philly special part two? He goes, two Percocets covered in Whiz cheese or cheese whiz.
Wit whiz. That's great. Yeah, now they're doing fucking specials on the high school coach who created the play. It's like, dude, get over it. It's a fucking reverse with a pass. Like,
now everyone's running it. Like, stop it. Mayfield caught it.
It's not, but it's not even an original play. Like, stop acting like this is a brand new play. We've seen the double reverse with a pass. It's just slightly different because the quarterback is catching the pass. Anyway,
I know you don't like gimmick offenses and we don't need to get into the triple options, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
So says the man. I mean, you know what? Let's talk about, let me wrap up with Trey Burton, but we can talk about this real quick. Trey Burton, 3,900. I think this is the week he gets going against this very soft Tampa defense. So I really enjoy the price point and he certainly has the ability. So just waiting for him to pop a little bit, but let's real quick. We're going to do 90 seconds on this Virginia Tech game.
Can we please? Cause
let me set the stage. So we're all the groomsmen are hanging out. You have to do that thing when you're in a wedding, you have to hang out and you just like,
get ready.
You can't get out. You can't come out of the room because you might see the bride and like, you're basically trapped, like hanging out, which was cool. We had some whiskey, had the vape pen going and, you know, fire up the old TV on the computer and get the, no one really gives a shit what game we're going to watch. So I decide, well, fuck it. We're going to watch the Virginia Tech game. And I convince everyone that this is a great scenario, that they're not playing well. We can just take the second half line and just be done with it. And, you know, then we have to go do the wedding stuff. And then like cut to a little bit later, I find out that we've lost by 14. And I don't know how to react. It's not the worst loss they've ever had because they lost to ECU at home before. And to me, that's a worse loss because, you know, the part of this story that no one knows is that all these kids from ODU probably wanted to go to Tech and weren't good enough. So there was that element, but holy shit. Like I don't have words.
They had 2 weeks to prepare as well. They beat them 31-0 last year.
You know what happened? They were preparing for next week's game. That has to be the case. This is the first time where I feel like the coach maybe isn't the right, like this is my first, like, that's something that wouldn't have happened under Beamer, period. So, Bud Foster's better than that. Justin Fuente's better than that. Justin Jackson got hurt. So now I don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback position and, I'll get off the Virginia Tech soapbox, but you know what? I did say this to many people when they beat Florida State that opening week. And I'm like, don't worry. They'll end up losing in a couple weeks to Duke. I was just off by a week. That's all. I was off by 1 week and it was fucking Old Dominion. Old Dominion.
I was on them too, man. Again, it's an in-state rivalry. I don't know how you don't get up for that game. You know, ODU is going to get up. There's certain games, right? Like where you can a sandwich spot or whatever, where it's out of conference, who gives a shit, right? But this game I always felt was kind of personal between the two teams. So I always thought you kind of get the most effort out of them, being Virginia Tech and, man, losing Josh Jackson too.
I misread the going home to the 757 element. It clearly distracted. It clearly distracted the Hokies and got the I don't know what their fucking name is. ODU as
Monarchs.
We call it. The Monarchs got them going. They're fucking butterflies. You lost to butterflies, you pussies. Anyway, let's wrap it up. I'm sorry. Let's head over to our flex. Who you got, Pina?
Yeah, I spent up, man. When you put Michelle, Julio, AJ Green, and Landry and Gronkowski in, you don't have a ton of wiggle room here. So I went hunting and I went TD hunting. Thought about my man Tyler Eifert. I really do like that matchup. I think he's good for a touchdown. I went to what kind of, you know, the old reliable, if you will, right? And that's David Njoku. Has not had a ton of looks, right? Last week against the Jets, I thought that would be a good matchup. Only two targets. Week before that and the week prior, week one though, seven targets. Again, the yards aren't going to be there. They're not going to be there with Eifert. They're not going to be there with any kind of touchdown dependent player, right? And Njoku has not found the end zone, but I think this is a week against Oakland where he just may. And it's a disgusting act. I have two Browns in here, especially in a game that I really like Oakland. But I think there could be some points put up here, much like the Miami and Oakland game this past week. Again, if Njoku is too much for you, go ahead and you can put in Eifert at the same price point there. So David Njoku is at 3,200.
The fact that you're going double tight end and also the fact that you're going double Browns That is, not only is it a disgusting act, but I feel like you're going against your own moral code.
I know.
I do think that having Baker in there is going to help everybody because I'll give it to him. He looks downfield. Like he looks the part. Granted it's one game and it was a hype machine and it was a Thursday night and it was against a rookie quarterback, but I like what I see. I'm impressed. Let's go to my flex. I had some money to spend. And while I might have been clowning you earlier, I also have the very, very awesome running back tight end stack with Rob Gronkowski. Yes. Holy shit, do they want to get him the ball? I went double tight end this weekend as well. I just don't see how they don't have a huge, huge Gronk day. Edelman, is he going to be worked back in immediately? I would imagine so. Yeah, that will loosen things up.
Step in day one. It's the old Edelman from the second he steps on the field. I think
I had enough money. I almost went Zeke Elliott here because he's really becoming the only part of that offense, but I decided to mix it up. I definitely like this lineup for contest. I feel like I have some unpopular guys. Double tight end will do that. Rob Gronkowski, 7,000. Who's your defense, Pina?
I touched on this when we were talking off air. Dak Prescott and his props still being set at $200 at 200 yards is absolutely atrocious. Again, I've been beating my chest telling you Dak Prescott is not going to be in this league for 3 years, and we're finally getting at the point here, right? The machine is starting. Dak's going to be benched, Garrett fired. He's bad, man. His mechanically, he's flawed. He has no weapons out there. You put Slay on who, right, as the best corner? You think maybe Gallup? You take Gallup out of the equation, you're left with Jeff Swain as his leading receiver and Cole Beasley, man. This Dallas offense is so, so bad. They're a dead nuts under team, first half and full, 6-0 on the year. It's incredible, man, to see how far, you know, what Frederick really meant to this offensive line. And without that offensive line, you know, you realize how good that line and what it meant to them. This offense is awful. I want to fade it, and I want to fade it as many places as I can. So 2,500 Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can do whatever you want here, but
go home and get your fucking shine box.
All day, this Cowboys team is just gloriously bad. And granted, they did beat my Giants team, also a bad team. But I'm enjoying this. I am a little worried that Garrett could get fired. I think I'm going to plug myself real quick. I was co-hosting a show on Mad Dog Sports on Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 82 last night, and we were discussing the first coach to be fired, and I noticed
Bill O'Brien now.
I noticed, yeah, Garrett still pretty long. I've seen odds for him anywhere from 12-1 up to 20-1. So. At what point does Jerry Jones say, fuck it, I don't need to have my fist up the same man's ass forever. I can get another puppet. Like I can get an intelligent puppet. I do think that he feels smart because he brought in this passing game coordinator from Seattle and the defense has looked all right. But for fuck's sakes, like be creative on offense. You have Zeke Elliott. I don't like the Cowboys. I hate complimenting him, but Zeke Elliott is the way that he just smashes people. There's no one in the league right now that no matter how he gets hit, he wins the battle.
Yeah.
And even though like Saquon Barkley looks amazing, he does not have the pure power of Zeke Elliott. And the fact that they are wasting
more
this
finesse,
dude,
way more finesse, passes out of the backfield, cutting things outside. Yeah, he's better absolutely at that than Zeke, but between the tackles, you're completely on
Zeke
point.
Is like a concrete brick coming at you. And the fact that they're screwing this up, the fact that they're screwing up a quarterback on a rookie deal is just beautiful to me. So very excited that you're fading the Cowboys here. I do have a rule. I'm not going to, thou shall not take a road defense. So I'm sticking with a home defense. And you know, here's a team with a sneaky pass rush. Arizona's yeah, sitting in the top 10, number 8 in adjusted sack rate right now, according to the Football Outsiders. And who do they have on deck?
36 point total too, or 37, something like that.
Seattle. And Seattle has shown me there's two teams. I almost went with the Colts here because Houston's offensive line has also been equally horrible, but I like this Arizona team. And I think they have some actual pass rushers who are going to give, like we've seen in weeks past, Russell Wilson fits. So give me Arizona for 2,600. I did the thing. I did the contest winning thing this week, Pina. I left $700 on the table. Not chump change.
I left 500.
Yeah,
I got money for the strip club later.
I like that. So yeah, I mean, honestly, I can't imagine a lot of people are going to play Eli. So I'm excited to see how this lineup does. Should we talk about some waiver wire action?
For sure, man. When we look at this. So side note, Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in and winning the game of throws for week three, moves to 2-1 on the week. You're streaming targets. Andy Dalton, again, reason why he was in my lineup. I think you can do a lot worse than Baker Mayfield on his first start. I really do. On the outside, wide receivers, I think Calvin Ridley is going to be the darling, right? Tyler Lockett was also more involved, looks to be their kind of version of DeSean Jackson. Tyler Boyd, if you have a team, you have AJ Green, I think you really need to look at kind of, I don't like handcuffing, especially wide receivers, but I think he's the one that I really would. And I touched on him last week, caught a touchdown last week. Ricky Seals-Jones, the peripherals are all there. His target share is there. Just not finding it. He finally broke in last week. So that's about it for waivers for me.
Well, and on top of that, look who is starting for the Arizona Cardinals. The chosen Rose, and I do think that's an upgrade for Seals Jones. Boyd is a guy that I really considered picking up a week early in FFPC. Kind of regret that I didn't. I certainly think he's going to be a guy that's going to be owned. And we keep hearing his name in these games, and Miami hasn't gone away yet. Albert Wilson seems to be a guy who they just want to get involved in. And I think in deeper leagues, he's a guy you might need to look for. As far as quarterbacks, like honestly, how the fuck is Ryan Fitzpatrick still qualified for the Game of Throws? Like, people got to pick him up. And it's crazy. Well,
it was last week. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, right? It was the matchup. It could have been anybody playing him, you know, as long as it wasn't an elite quarterback roster and on everyone. I think people are waiting for the Fitz magic to dry up, right? He does this every year. He's a little bit like Josh McCown in that regard. It's going to stop. The matchup, Pittsburgh's defense is just that bad.
Do you pick up Beathard?
No. Come on, man. We've made a lot of money fading CJ Beathard, much like Nathan Peterman on this podcast.
Another question I would have is I'm personally okay to drop Robbie Anderson. Are you good with that? Like, Darnold just doesn't look at him.
Yeah, no, that was a weird thing where he had, so here's the deal, right? When you look at backup quarterbacks and he was getting the ball from, it was Bryce Petty, right? At that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Robbie Anderson was, you know, a backup player. He was fourth, fifth, sixth on the depth chart, and those backups play with other backups. So they practice together. They're getting, if they're doing extra work, they're getting that extra work in together. You know, Petty wasn't throwing the ball to, you know, Pryor or Anunua or whoever the case may be who was their starting guys. He was always working with him. So they built that rapport and that relationship. This isn't the case, right? So McCown comes in, doesn't really know him. And obviously trust, you know, having Anunua back is just such a big deal there. So that's kind of, you know, my philosophy on why that tends to happen. You'll see it a lot. If two players that were kind of backups together come in from a quarterback and running back or wide receiver combination, they just built in that rapport basically on the practice field together because they don't play with the ones, right? Ones play with ones, twos play with twos, and so on.
I like the angle for sure. I mean, I'm dropping them. I'm not overthinking about it. Streaming quarterbacks, you already touched on it. Dalton, Eli, and probably Baker Mayfield. Would you start Josh Allen or Rosen this week in anything other than a long shot contest play? I mean, I don't think you can, not yet. I got to see it.
Here's the deal, right? I played a prop over 18 completions on Josh Allen, and thinking, right, game script, they're going to be down by 100. They're going to have to play. The kid didn't throw a pass in the fourth quarter.
Amazing.
That's such game. He finished with 16, broke my heart there on that prop bet. To me, they want to protect him, right? They have the kid gloves on with him. They have, you know, Mitch Trubisky style, right? They want everything to be short, not make him do too much, and just manage the game until they can fix that offensive line in next year's draft and so on. There's a reason why they didn't want to play him. They didn't want to get him killed. So they're going to do everything they can to protect him. Everything is just going to be very, you know, he has the biggest arm in the draft class, right? Well, they need to kind of protect him. And so I don't think he's worthy of it yet. You have to see it for a little bit. And I meant Darnold, of course, not McCown when I was talking about Anderson. Sorry.
I like how they call him Uncle Josh. That was the funniest thing I learned.
They look exactly alike.
Running backs, couple guys to throw out there. No, don't pick up Tavon Austin. I still can't endorse that. Although it is funny that Austin has out touchdown Zeke Elliott 2-0 so far this season. Buck Allen, I definitely like him on the Ravens. Every year we try to find a reason to not include him in guys who will just be consistent pass catchers, but he's back. He's going to be the guy. High, if you want to take a longer shot, Nyheim Hines, again, I called him Darren Sproles 2.0. He's clearly going to be involved, and his role is only going to grow as he couldn't learn the playbook in the off season. So, it's only going to get better. And, Chris Ivory, I mean, he's kind of shit, but he's full opportunity. So I don't think I have anyone else other than, like I said before the season, I think the only tight end in football you're going to have to handcuff this year is Zach Ertz, because Jesus, Sean is right. Dallas Goedert could have been his Tariq Cohen this year, but I think you have to consider picking him up with the way that offense is playing right now and the fact that they have no wide receivers.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a long one. I had some free time today. Did a little working from home. Wrote a nice props article. Although I think I lost a little money. God damn, I'm rusty. We're gonna get it back. I everything. I missed on my lock again. Missed on my dog. I'm close. I'm just like the Patriots. It's just gonna blow up 1 week, or I'm almost finished. So we'll see.
1 week of the NFL season will be completed after this week, man. How do you feel about it?
One quarter. Yeah.
Sorry.
What are we in the super contest now? After I've not personally, I'm 2-3, so I'm definitely not helping the team out. But what is our record right now?
I'm 2-1-1. We were 4-5-1. We just went 2-3, so we are 6-7.
Okay, we got a tie in there, I think, right? We got a
play. Yeah, 6-7-1.
Oh, we gotta have one. It's gotta be one more than that. No, we were
4-5-1, and we just went 2-3.
6-8-1.
There we go.
All right, we gotta get four this week to get to that 500 spot at the quarter pole. Yeah, I don't know. Feeling good. You got anything you want to plug? Tons of stuff coming out on the site.
Yeah, Game of Thrones will be up tomorrow. What we learned from week three gambling perspective will be up on the written side. And this week's Inside Vegas, we have Prop Swap coming on. Again, consensus best bet cashed with the White Whale. Saints money line plus 135. You know, on the podcast is our consensus best bet. Consensus best bets are now 2-1 on the air. And this one, we're going to do a future bet. So I'm going to kind of talk to Prop Swap founder and talk about what it will be the, from their perspective. Again, they are the secondary market. The biggest future, or the most lucrative future to place at this time to be able to sell down the line for a profit, will be this week's Inside Vegas with the consensus best bet as well.
Awesome. I've definitely been enjoying the in-season form of Inside Vegas. And of course, right?
little different look at how different people handicap games.
No, I think it's great. I'm patting ourselves in the back, but moving it from Monday to Friday was the right call. I like how it's a weekend primer. Yeah. So listen, we got to recap. What do you need to do out there? If you're listening, first, you definitely want to go check out the Free Roll Football Contest. We will announce the week three winner on the NFL show this week, contest.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And that of course is presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, where you can find Inside Vegas, the College Experience, and the EPL show from a real British dude. So if you're into any of that, you should definitely go to subscribe.thesgpn.com. The other presenting sponsor of the Free Roll Football Contest, Oddshark, www.oddshark.com, @Oddshark. So check them out. Thanks to MyBookie, promo code SGP100 and SGP25. Thanks to BetQL. Remember to head over to iTunes, subscribe, rate, share. I think we actually fell off the charts. We need everyone's attention. We need laser focus. This is where we bounce back. The quarter poll's coming. Pina, thanks for coming on. Happy week four. And so I guess I do four, the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am not Sean stacking the money green. I'm Ryan Real Money Kramer. Thanks for coming on, Pina. Good luck this week, and let it ride.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.